This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
West tonight, lo and behold, a game we've been kind of waiting on, right? Virginia and Florida State are going to hook up down in Tallahassee. And we know about the Hoos, right? 59-9 in the last 4 years in ACC regular season play. They're on top of the standings, 11-1. We know about the Noles. They're now back from part two of COVID pause. Survived their game against Wake Forest in overtime on Saturday. They've won 23 in a row. But this is a heavyweight showdown. Only the fourth ranked versus ranked matchup of ACC teams this season. But it's kind of the game, again, no disrespect to Virginia Tech, who's been really, really good. We've already seen the Hokies win against the Hoos at home.
Right.
But I think this is really the game we've all been kind of waiting for, is Virginia and Florida State.
Well, because we haven't gotten the other ones, too, right? I mean, let's be honest. The COVID has banged us out of the other matchups that we thought would be kind of in that group of three or four schools at the top. I mean, we haven't gotten since Florida State Louisville, which we thought would be a good game, and the Noles threw a haymaker early. Pac, when's the last time we got a compelling type game? That was the last, and you said this, what, four ranked games? Is that right? That's
this,
it.
This is
in ACC
this
play
is
this
the
year.
Fourth. Yeah, this is the fourth. Oh. So, I mean, we're kind of overdue from that standpoint. Virginia's going to be now involved in three of them. But, you know, you mentioned, you know, Virginia Tech getting the COVID. So, you know, they've now missed out. We've missed out on Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Louisville, Virginia Tech, Florida State, Virginia Tech, Virginia in one of those games. I mean, you know, Florida State's going through it now. Two doses of COVID pause. Louisville has gone through it. So, you know, it's unfortunate at the top. We're starting to talk about the top third of the league, the matchups you can't wait to see. We've missed a lot of them, quite frankly, based on the postponements and not sure if we're going to get those games based on the fact that we're only 3-4 weeks away from the start of tournament play. But I know for sure as of 9:02 a.m., as of right this second tonight, we're going to get Virginia and Florida State. And despite the loss of those other games, this I still think is the one that we all thought, even before the season started, that, you know what, Virginia was the pick by the media. Knew they were going to be good. They've kind of proven their worth, especially here lately. And Florida State, we just know what Leonard has built. The defending champ from a year ago. And you just feel like this is a heavyweight showdown in the ACC.
It's got that feel to it. It also has the impact at the back end, too. Because let's be honest, and we talked about this with Seth Greenberg. You've said it a couple times already. Where Virginia sits in the standings, if they win the game tonight, they're essentially going to win no more than a share of the regular season. Because if Virginia were to lose again, it's highly unlikely they'd lose twice, just kind of even with the stretch they've got. Cavaliers would have to go into the mental abyss from a basketball perspective. And, you know, we can look back, and you mentioned this number earlier about Tony Bennett and winning seasons in ACC play. Joining a list that features, what, two other people? Mike Krzyzewski and Dean Smith, right? That's the list.
Well,
that's it, right?
Tony Bennett, this is going to be the 10th consecutive year that Virginia is going to finish above 500 in league play. Coach K's at 13 and counting. And again, we'll see where Duke ends up at the end of the year. And I put it in perspective where it's an incredible achievement by Tony Bennett and his staff and his players and his program because they're tremendous. But I put it as a reference that Dean Smith did it 33 consecutive years, and I think that's a number that will never be touched in this league. But the point of it is what Tony Bennett has accomplished, what he inherited, what he has built, and the standard that they've become. As Seth Greenberg pointed out an hour ago, they've been the standard in this league the last 5 years. And I gave you the numbers in the last 4 years. They're 59-9 in league play. That is just a stupid number. 11 games better than the closest competition, which is Duke.
And by the way, of the nine, only two have been by double digits. Yeah, so, they lose, it's a fight.
Well, I started messing with this yesterday because, my mind wanders, kind of like what Courtney Weber was talking about a second. My mind doesn't stop thinking about crazy stuff. And I started messing around with numbers with Virginia because that 59-9 number is just remarkable. But the nine losses, two, only two, have been by double digits. So it started
crazy.
The wheels start thinking about what does that look like versus the rest of the league in terms of double digit losses in that stretch of now the last 4 years. And here are the numbers. Now, your eyeballs are going to pop out and go, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. Virginia's only had two. Florida State's only had eight. Duke's had four. And then start looking at the double-digit numbers, right? Pitt at 33 at the other end of the spectrum. 33 double-digit losses in the last 4 years. Look at that list.
Mm. Wow.
It puts it in perspective about where Virginia. In fact, Virginia's nine losses, Wes, have been by a grand total of 55 points. That's it.
Mm.
How good is that?
Mm. Wow. Well, and I got a note here as the show unfolds from Chuck Walsh, who's the legendary basketball sports information director at Florida State. In the last 5 years, only two teams in the ACC have winning records against Virginia. Florida State is 4-3 and Duke is 4-2.
Yep.
Now that's hard. I mean, when you think about it, you know that those two in particular, we've talked about the emergence of Florida State and Virginia, right? And how solid Duke and Carolina have been. But now you stack it up and look at Virginia and you're throwing 59-9 out there and Florida State's 4-3 and Duke's 4-2. How about that? I mean, that also gives you another layer on tonight, I think.
Well, like I said, this is the game we want to see. I mean, Florida State is last year's champ. We got an absolute horse race coming down the stretch here. It's going to be a Virginia Tech, Florida State thing, quite frankly. At least looks that way with 3 weeks to go. And this is going to be really the one. I think if Virginia wins this game, they're in beyond the Catbird spot. Man, they're in total control from that perspective. And I know Virginia Tech fans are going to scream at me for saying that. And they're going, hey, Pat, we've already beaten them once. I get that. I get that. But you know what? You still got to go chase them, and you still got to go play at their place. And even the breakdown, too, of this game between Virginia and Florida State, Wes, you know, in terms of teams that they have in common, you know, I started messing around with this, too. They have both played Georgia Tech, North Carolina, and Wake Forest at home, and both of them were 3-0. The difference is they have both played at Clemson and at Georgia Tech. Virginia went 2-0. Florida State went 0-2. That is the difference. And those are the only five games in terms of the exact same mindset subset that, hey, they are similar. Three at home, two on the road, the difference on the road. But we know this. Florida State's won 23 in a row against ACC teams at home, and that will be put to the test tonight with a Virginia team that's playing lights out.
Pack, the 11 straight overtime wins, by the way, seems crazy, doesn't it?
Well, it is.
I mean, their last overtime loss was 2015 against Iowa. All right? Now, they've tied the Division I record for most consecutive overtime wins, right? Now, I'm going to run these other schools that are involved in this. Louisville from 1968 to 1975 won 11 straight. UMass from 91 to 96. That's the era of, like, Lou Rowe, Carmelo Travieso, Marcus Camby, Edgar Padilla, right? Remember those?
Calipari teams.
Later vacated at the Final Four, as I recall. And Virginia from 91 to 96 won 11 straight overtime games. Now, that would be the Jeff Jones era, as I recall, right? That would be along those lines, Terry Holland to Jeff Jones, right?
Sounds right.
Well, you know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Good teams, good coaching. Some good bounces.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Florida State was fortunate to get it to overtime Saturday against Wake Forest because the Deacs really, really played well. One for Scotty Barnes coast to coast with that smooth layup with 1/10 of a second left. That would have been a stunner.
He's unbelievable.
I'm also concerned to see what Florida State does with this COVID pause, right? I mean, they didn't shoot 71% and put up 105 spot like they did against NC State. I mean, they really struggled. They give Wake Forest all the credit in the world. I thought the Deacs played well. They had a great game plan and executed. They just didn't make free throws down the stretch to close that thing out. Florida State found a way to win that game. They'll have to play a better game tonight if they're going to beat Virginia. That Saturday effort will not be good enough to beat Virginia tonight.
I'm interested to watch the matchups tonight, especially what Florida State does man-to-man, because you put Scotty Barnes on Sam Hauser tonight. Do you put Raekwon Gray on Kihei Clark? I mean, Seth talked about Balsa Koprivica probably not playing as many minutes tonight. Okay, do you put Scotty Barnes on Jay Huff? Jay Huff likes to stand on the perimeter. Do you put Scotty Barnes on him? What do you do with MJ Walker? What do you do with Malik Osborne? I mean, they're all candidates to defend, but the two guys for Florida State that interest me a little bit are Raekwon Gray, who, by the way,
great game, sir.
I mean, we've talked about MJ Walker. We've talked about Scotty Barnes. Raekwon Gray's had a season now. I mean, he went for 24-10 the other day.
24-12 Saturday. Career highs.
Or 24-12, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's a great question. And you know, Florida State's athleticism and length, does that cause problems? I mean, Virginia's shooting the ball well from three, right? I mean, they're making shots. Mm-hmm. It's a more offensive team that we've seen in years past. How will that disrupt Virginia in terms of their rhythm? Especially, as you mentioned, Jay Huff loves to stand there at the top of the key. You're like, man, big guy ain't going to shoot. Yeah, he will. And he will make that shot consistently. So Hauser's been great off screens. It should just be a great matchup. Again, that's the reason teams are ranked 9th and 17th, respectively. I think Florida State's still underrated at 17, in my opinion. But they're coming off two COVID pauses. But like I said, they're going to have to be sharper tonight than they were Saturday. And I suspect they will be. This is a big-time matchup, and we can't wait for it.
Yeah. And if Virginia finds somebody hot, Walden Tensai, Casey Morsell,
Murphy,
somebody come in, just all of a sudden start unloading from the perimeter, what does that do? How about Florida State? They bring Wyatt Wilkes in. That cat's a hard gun, doesn't he?
Hey, these are good teams. Wes, these are good teams, right?
Yeah. I mean,
this is we're used to it in ACC basketball. It's been a weird year, right? It's been a very strange year with COVID. Virginia Tech has been a pleasant surprise. Duke is a kind of a work in progress. North Carolina has work to do. Clemson's had a great year. Virginia Tech, as I pointed out, doing their thing. I can't wait to see Louisville play again. They've been kind of out of sight, out of mind, going down the stretch. Georgia Tech is in the pits, have given us moments. Notre Dame's playing their best basketball of the year. It's been a strange year with the disruptance, right? But this is the game that we thought of when we talked about ACC hoops at the tail end of the football season. Man, we can't get this thing started. Virginia and Florida State was a game you couldn't wait to see happen. And tonight, hopefully, we get it.
Let me ask you this. Are you you want to get back into that home and road deal in conference play? Because the home team been cracking heads this past weekend. Only team to win on the road was Duke at NC State, by the way.
Yeah, but that's only because the road teams dominate during the week, right? Once the stat was brought to the television, all of a sudden the road teams were like, oh, so you woke us up. We're just going ahead and just dominate for 3 or 4 days. You know, I don't know. I think the other thing, too, about this game is the index card. The infamous ACC index card.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
These are weird numbers for two really good teams. Weird numbers because you start talking about foul margin in the league. Virginia is 13th, and Florida State is tied for last at 14 with Duke. Two of the worst in the league. Foul margin. Free throw attempt margin. Virginia is dead last, worst in the league.
Oh boy.
Florida State is 9th. Free throw attempts, Virginia dead last in the league. Florida State, 12th. Fouls,
okay.
Both of them do a good job in fouls in terms of not the whistles. Yeah. But keep in mind, Virginia's 3rd with 156. They played 12 games. Florida State is 4th. They've only played 9 games and have been called for 10 more fouls. So it's kind of an index card game tonight, but more importantly, it's a great game tonight. So put your feet up and enjoy Virginia and Florida State. It'll give us a ton to talk about tomorrow.
7 o'clock on ESPN, Sean McDonough and Jay Billis. By the way, BPI likes the Cavaliers tonight.
Ooh, that's good news for Florida
Mark's
State.
Friends.
That is
Packers
great
friends at the BPI.
News. If you are a Florida State fan, the one thing you should take from this show is that BPI likes Virginia. BPI, the unknown entity in Bristol, likes Virginia. What was it? 60, there you go. Was it 63% chance to win?
63.
Against a team that's won 23 in a row at home against ACC teams. So Florida State that's fans, right. Best thing you got going for you is the BPI likes the Hoos tonight. Just telling you right. If we come back tomorrow and Florida State wins, and nobody takes credit. It's all about the BPI curse.
Okay.
BPI is terrible.
All right, we have more to go. We'll recap two wins yesterday, one for Georgia Tech in Atlanta. And Notre Dame last night keeps doing February, and they rode Nicola Jogo to a big win. Oh, and Josh Pastner, there's the face mask from Friday night. The welder look was back. New face shield. And Moses Wright helped the Jackets. Marek Dolezal at 9:30 on this program, too.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday.
What's going on this show, by the way?
What's the matter? You got a problem? What's going on down there in Georgia?
You know, we got the Lumberjacks. We got Drew and Josh handling everything. And then Chrissy's helping us. And then a moment ago, we had a flyby by Jen. We got flybys. We got stuff going on. It's crazy.
All the smart people are in Bristol. I'll keep telling you that.
Oh, we're living in first class when it comes to production now. No question.
Smart folks in Bristol. We're just leading the parade. That's what we're doing. We got dogs, cats. We lead the parade. But the smart people are in Bristol.
Handmade Valentine's cards from you to Mrs. P.
That's right. I tried to take care of my wife last night and yesterday. Make sure she had a great day. She loves chocolate.
Coffee.
Breakfast in bed. Coffee. Handmade card. You know. Give her the
day. What'd she think of the singlet?
She did not like the singlet. That didn't go over well. I would not do that to my wife. That I would not do for
no,
her.
No, you wouldn't.
No, but I made a fire
she
for
wants
her. She had,
to, you want
she
her to stay your wife.
She was watching her Australian Open tennis. She was into the tennis yesterday, so she had to fire the tennis.
Boy, they're doing a great job, by the way, given the way they got to cover that. Couldn't be prouder of Chris Fowler and everybody involved in that, getting it done the way they are.
What a bummer, though, for Fowler, man. That's got to be a great trip down under. You go down to Melbourne for a couple weeks, chilling out. Now you got to hang out at home in the basement. Yeah. That's not the same. It's like you doing games from home.
No.
It's not the same.
That's right. It is like doing games from home.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Tell you what, if Fowler's got a minute, it'd be fun to have him on the show, wouldn't it?
He's
up
Chris
in Bristol
Fowler.
Doing the Aussie Open.
We've not had
never
Fowler
had
on the
Chris
show.
Fowler on the show. It'd be good to have him on. Yeah.
Well, he's going to be busy with the tennis for a while.
Fun to do. But he ends it the morning. I mean, because he works overnight and he finishes so he could maybe hit us on the way back to the hotel, get a little shut eye.
We'll get him on at one point in time. Some point in time.
Yeah, that'd be good.
All right. Games.
A couple of winners yesterday.
Yep.
Yes. Let's go to Atlanta yesterday afternoon. This one felt like it had a little more on the line, didn't it, than just, hey, by the way, here's Georgia Tech and Pittsburgh. Somebody was going to be above 500 or at 500. Somebody had a chance to fall below. And the Jackets took advantage, picked up the win. Moses Wright, 24-3-2. Look at Bubba Parham, by the way, from deep. Here's Jordan Usher. He got hurt. Don't know the extent of it. Boston College visits the corner of 10th and Fowler on Wednesday at noon. Kyle Sturdivant coming off the bench, helping out. Here's Khalid Moore throwing in a three. Jackets are 6-6, 10-8. On the outside looking in, to be honest with you, don't have a great win. Had a chance to get one Friday night, and Nick Honor took care of that at the horn off the glass. But 71-65 is the final. Georgia Tech a winner. Josh Pastner, a new face shield after the other one was destroyed in an incident with the scorers table on Friday night at Clemson. We'll have to get an update next time Pastner's on about the wherewithal of that shield, by the way.
Thought it was really, really important for Georgia Tech to get that win yesterday, because that loss Friday was one you just felt like, man, that bus ride home had to stink, because that was one you figured, hey, we're going to win this game. Big win coming off the Virginia game midweek. Another game they really had a good chance to win. But they let that thing get away from them Friday night in Tiger Town. And just thought the quick turnaround. This is a tough stretch of four games basically in a week. Pitt's a dangerous team. I just thought this was a really, really important win for Georgia Tech, kind of setting up what they need to do down the stretch. And for Pitt, another opportunity, right? This seems like to be like a team that, man, there was a time about a month ago that you and I were a lot higher on Pitt than we are right now, right? They just, I don't know what it is. I mentioned to you that with Champagne, too, only taking six shots. He is too good a player to only take six shots in a game. Agree. He's a dynamic player. Could be your ACC player of the year. But for Pitt, still work to be done. Same thing with Georgia Tech. But I just thought the Jackets could ill afford for us to come back Monday and talk about them being swept over the weekend. They at least got the split. Mm. It's all you asked for. They'll be favored on Wednesday night.
Yeah, 10-8 with BC calling on Wednesday at high noon. Or Dave noon. O'Brien, Corey Alexander start our quadruple header of ACC basketball here on Wednesday. South Bend last night's been snowing there for seven straight days, Pac. They don't expect to be above freezing until the end of the month in northern Indiana.
That, you know what that tells you? That tells
71.
You what a, that tells you what a great job Brian Kelly does recruiting. That's what that tells you.
71-61, the final. Notre Dame's been playing well in February. You know the history of Mike Bray. His teams the last few years have been really, really good in the second month of the calendar. And again last night, Nicola Jogo, season high 18, three off his career high 21. Dane Goodwin, a big three. Trey Wirtz, a big three late. Irish win by 10. Notre Dame will get Clemson on Wednesday night at Purcell Pavilion. Yeah. That is How you feeling about that one, big boy?
That is a big – that's a big game for both, quite frankly, because Notre Dame's, Notre Dame's got a chance to have a good run here in February, and they really need more quality wins. Clemson qualifies for that. That is a big W for the Irish if they can get it. And if Clemson wins – I'm telling you, this is the stretch of it. I think they have three straight road games, if I'm not mistaken. I think they got
Wake and
Pitt and Notre Dame, or three straight on the road for the Tigers before they close at home. And those are all manageable, too. I think if you're Brad Brunell, you're taking a snapshot of that going, hey, if you win two or three on the road and come back home, Clemson's in a great spot. I you know, people keep talking about the bubble. I agree with Seth Greenberg. I think they're cruising. I think they've got as many quality wins as anybody wants in this league. And if they can steal someone on the road, they're in great shape. But for Notre Dame, they almost desperately need that W against Clemson on Wednesday. That's a big ball game for the Irish.
Well, in terms of inventory going to postseason, let's go to the standings here because I hate to say this, my fear a week ago is starting to happen. And that is the league is going to do the committee's business for them. Okay, look at 1 through 6 and then look at 7, 8 down because 7, 8 down is Syracuse at 6 and 5. And then you have a tie for 8th with Duke and Georgia Tech. Again, they're doing the committee's business for them. Then Notre Dame, then Pittsburgh, then NC State, so on and so forth. You lose the compelling contender, if you will, after you get through about 6, Pac, and that's not good. That's just not good.
Well, I told you, I think 6 is the number for the league, unless somebody gets absolutely crazy good in February and gets hot in Greensboro. To me, 6 seems to be the sweet spot for the league right now.
They're doing their work for them. But I mean, they're going to make it easy for the committee to draw that line.
But, Wes, if that's what it is, that's what it is. I mean, we could sit here and spin stuff left and right. That doesn't really matter a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Again, we talked about transparency all the time. Being completely honest with you, I think 6 is the right number for the conference. Would I like to see 8 or 9? Well, no question. Of course, we all would. Yep. But for 8 and 9 to get in, guess what? Teams, as you just pointed out, need to catch fire and start beating people of note, right? I mean, Notre Dame has a chance to really kind of rocket ship up the standings, but where do you pick up quality wins? Well, they get an opportunity on Wednesday against Clemson. You look down the rest of their schedule and you wonder, where is it? I think if you look at the top of the league, we've already talked about all the games Virginia Tech has missed with North Carolina and Louisville and Florida State and Virginia based on the COVID. Those are four big, huge games. And right now, you know, those are going to be lost games for the Hokies. So the good news, bad news is, hey, they've got some good wins. They've beaten Virginia. They've beaten Villanova. Mm. They've beaten Clemson. That's the good news. You know, the bad news is, for us as fans, we're going to get a chance to see all those games. So that stinks. But you embrace what you get.
Got that right. You also embrace softball on this channel, because coming up this week, you're going to get all three games of the ACC pod between Florida State and Georgia Tech. You see, Thursday, you got a doubleheader at 11 a.m. and 1:30 Eastern from Mewburn Field on the Georgia Tech campus. And then turn right around on Friday, 1 o'clock. Lonnie Almeida brings number 12 Florida State to Atlanta to see Aileen Morales and Georgia Tech. ACC pod in the softball coming up Thursday right here on ACC Network and on the ESPN app. When we come back, one of the most versatile players in the ACC will join us. Marek Dolezal of Syracuse is on deck with Packer and Durham. Topics include pizza and more next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Our next guest, Wes, appeared on this show about a year ago. And
is that right?
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah, about a year ago.
Okay.
And he's back, and Syracuse is playing good basketball. They got the big win on the road at NC State. They took care of business, knocking off BC, as they should, over the week. So, again, Orange is always an interesting team, right? Every time you think, they're not going to do anything, then they get hot. Every time you think they're hot, sometimes they come fake left, go right. They're an interesting bunch up there in Central New York.
All right.
But Marek Dolezal joins us now. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Wes.
That's all right. Marek, I want to get into this because I've always appreciated your versatility as a player. And the great Pete Moore sent me a note, and you know how great Pete is. He's always on top of good stuff like this. And when I had you guys a couple of weeks ago, or last week against NC State, I started noting it during the game. This is against the ACC. You're third in field goal free throw percentage. You're fifth in minutes played. You're 10th in assist, and 10th in assist to turnover ratio. Do you think of yourself as this versatile basketball player? Because I think people think of you as a guy that grinds around the basket and things like that. But your versatility, at least in stats, really starts to show.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm just trying to help my team to win. You know, back home, I played point guard, so that helped me a lot to, you know, handle the ball a lot and pass the ball a lot. So, you know, I will do whatever it takes to win a game. And if I need to pass the ball to our shooters, I will, you know, or set the screens. So it's really, I will do whatever it takes.
Marek, we had Buddy Boeheim on the show about a month ago. It was right after you took an elbow to the mouth, tooth out, bleeding all over the place, looking to come out. Coach says, man, you're not hurt. Get back in there. And Buddy was having a good time at your expense. So first of all, I want to make sure the teeth, we all good? The mouth work, the dental work, everything's good?
Yeah, everything's good. And my dentist really fixed the tooth really well, so I can finally eat pizza again.
All right, well, that was going to be my follow-up. Because Buddy made a big deal, and he goes, man, the dude eats pizza like every freaking meal, and we got the teeth out, and that's a problem, right? But you're now good to go. The pizza business, you're keeping everybody employed up there in Syracuse.
Yeah, everything is fine here, but I really don't know why everybody thinks I eat pizza every day. I remember my freshman year when we went to March Madness, and we beat TCU at March Madness. It was our first round, and I had like a pie of pizza. So, and after that, everybody thinks I eat pizza. So it's really funny, you know. And I love pizza. I don't understand who doesn't like pizza, but it's really funny.
All right, now wait a second. Then, so Boeheim, Buddy strikes me as a little bit of the prankster, jokester guy on the team. Does Buddy, you know, Buddy like to get after guys? Is that what the deal is?
Oh yeah, 100%. He's always like that. Even when we go to his house, he always jokes around. Coach is watching TV and he's trying to make Coach pissed. So he's the guy.
By the way, I heard that's quite a setup there at the Boeheim headquarters at the gym there is pretty nice from what I hear.
Oh, yeah, it is really nice.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice perk.
Are the games any good in that gym, Marek?
You know, we spend most of our time in Mello, so I'm not sure if there's a lot of good games. But I bet there are.
All right.
All right, as far as this team is concerned, I just mentioned before we brought you on, you guys are an interesting lot because every time I think you guys are dead in the water, you get hot. Every time I think you guys are getting ready to blow people out of the water, you give me one of those. I go, man, what happened to Syracuse? How would you define this Syracuse team at this point in time in the season?
You know, I think we have a lot of guys. I think we have a lot of really good guys. We have 5 double-digit scores. And, you know, we need to play every game, you know. ACC is really weird this year, you know. Everybody can beat everybody. Mm-hmm. So we just need to focus on every single game. And we will see what happens on Selection Sunday. And, you know, we just have to say we did everything what we could.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, given kind of the differentials in scheduling, like home and away or the number of conference games you're going to play, the symmetry's not there at all. So realistically, going down the stretch, what becomes really important? Just game to game in your mind?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we lost, I think, 3 or 4 home games, and we are 10-1 at home, but, you know, we cannot think about it. We just need to focus on the next game, what is Louisville on Wednesday. And, you know, this big game for us, they're a really good team. They come from COVID pause. So it's a really big game for us.
You know, we talk about offense all the time, but it seems like your defense as a team has been much better here lately. Even in the loss at Clemson, you turned them over 20 times. It seems like lately this zone is starting to cause a lot of problems for teams.
Yeah, for sure. You know we can score. You know, we had 5 double-digit scores. We have really good guys off the bench. And we can score, but we need to stop people, and it's the most important things for us.
All right, Marek, what's the difference in the zone? Because I know it's not the same. There are different wrinkles to it. But 20 turnovers by Clemson, 20 more by NC State. Boston College had a hard time holding on to the ball at times on Saturday as well. What changes as the year goes on? I mean, you're a veteran guy. You know the nuances of the thing now as well as anybody. What's the difference now in February or March with the zone compared to when the year starts? Does it evolve each season?
Yeah, 100%. You know, we play some games. You know, games is not the same as practice. And, you know, it's kind of, you need to understand the zone too, where to move, where to go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Alan Griffin, I think he's like top 5 in the turnovers, steals in ACC. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing a terrific job. Kadari Richmond, you know, coming off the bench, you know, he's playing really good defense too. So it's all about moving, you know. And I think in the beginning of the year, we didn't move that much, but now we are doing a much better job.
What's it like playing in an empty dome? And when that place has got 30,000 in it, there's nothing quite like it. But it's also got to be nothing quite like it when you're playing in front of 30,000 empty seats. So what's that been like this year?
You know, it's really sad for me. You know, I've been here 4 years. You know, I play all 3 years in front of 30,000 fans. It's really sad, but, you know, we just cannot complain and we just need to move on. It's like practice, you know. No fans, just practice.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's sad, too. It brings me to an interesting point with you. You have come a long way to play at Syracuse. To go through the pandemic and to go through the coronavirus, being in a foreign country for the most part, did you have the chance to go back to Slovakia and then return to the U.S.? How's that been? I mean, going through this with people is hard enough. I can only imagine when you're isolated from family and so forth, it might even be a little bit tougher.
No, so I stayed in the U.S. right when the pandemic started. So I stayed here because I really don't know what's going to happen. And I needed to finish my classes. So I didn't want to risk it to go back home. And after they didn't let me go back, so I just stayed here in the U.S. the whole summer. And I never had the chance to go back home. And my parents, now the borders are still closed, so they cannot come either. So hopefully this summer I will go home and see them.
Marek, what's a winter in Syracuse like versus a winter in Slovakia? They're similar?
It's pretty similar. And this winter in Syracuse is pretty nice.
Really?
It's been the best in 4 years.
Is that right?
It's only like 20. It's not bad. And so it's really similar, but we don't get that much snow back home.
Huh. I would have thought.
So this is the nicest winter you've had in 4 years? This is the nicest winter?
I will say so.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, if the Syracuse basketball team got into a massive snowball fight, who would be your number one partner? Who would you want as your partner in a Syracuse snowball fight?
I'll go to Quincy.
Why?
No, Canadian man.
Oh,
Montreal man. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going with experience and size, right?
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. And by the way, if you had the perfect snowball and Quincy was your partner, who's the first target? Who's the guy you want? You want Boeheim? You going after Buddy?
Buddy
first?
Yeah, Buddy.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You have to.
You think he would say the same if he was on this? If he was on this interview with us, and I asked him the same question, do you think he'd say the same thing? He'd go after you first.
I don't know. That's a good question. I'll ask him in practice today.
Okay, let us know the answer.
There you go.
All right. I'd like to know the answer. To that.
Yeah, pass that along.
All right.
I tell you what, you are a heck of a player. Incredible versatility. It's been fun to watch you play in the last 4 years, and appreciate you spending time with us today, Marek.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Enjoy the pizza.
You bet. Yep, Marek Dolezal of the Syracuse Orange. They are in action against Louisville Wednesday, part of our quadruple header.
Big game.
Mike Cousins, Jordan Cornette will have the call of that. I'm talking major basketball on this channel Wednesday, starting at noon, by the way.
That game in particular, much like we're talking about Notre Dame and Clemson, Notre Dame really needs that one. Syracuse could really use the Louisville game. Really use it.
Yes, they could. Yep, they sure could. All right, final segment coming up. Plenty to go on. We'll get you final word on tonight's Florida State-Virginia game at 7 o'clock on ESPN. And a few more little tidbits to close down the show. We'll do that next. Packer and Durham on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
A very quick Monday, Packer and Durham. Big, humongous game tonight. Big matchups later this week. Needless to say, but the one tonight is an A-plus deal. It's a headliner. It's Virginia at Florida State, West Durham.
Yep. Highest scoring offense in the ACC, 79.1, against the best scoring defense, Virginia allowing 58.8 per game.
And I believe the winner of the game is the one that's closer to their average. I think that's how you answer the question. About that, make your head explode on a Monday.
BPI likes Virginia tonight. Ooh, Pack.
That's good.
Your friends.
I told you, it's huge. That's awesome news for Leonard Hamilton to hear that. When BPI jumps on your bandwagon, go the other way.
Yeah. Virginia split the two-game series a year ago, lost in Tallahassee by 4, won in Charlottesville by 5, by the way.
The thing that I do like about...
And the meeting before that, by the way, was the ACC tournament in Charlotte, where Florida State won in the semifinals. Remember that?
I do. What I like about Virginia tonight is that they have been playing. And I know that sounds goofy, but this whole COVID pause thing, I know Michigan came back from the dead yesterday. Actually, Florida State, in some respects, had to battle back against Wake Forest. But teams getting into a flow and a rhythm of a season, Wes, especially ones that are good, Virginia is certainly good, they're in a great flow and rhythm. And now I'm not telling you Florida State can't win the game tonight. It'd be stupid to think that. They've won 23 straight against ACC teams at home. They are the defenders in this league, and we know how talented they are. They're well coached, and they're really good.
Yep.
But I like teams in a rhythm of a season. Now, Florida State shoots lights out like they did for 2 weeks coming off a pause, and 70% against NC State and 60% against everybody else. Could they win tonight? Absolutely, they can win tonight. Mm-hmm. But if this is a, hey, all right, we're going in the back and forth, I think Virginia's into a more comfortable routine of this season. Does it at least feels that way to me.
Yeah. It's interesting to look at Virginia, and we talked about matchups earlier. Well, if this game gets transitional, that certainly favors Florida State. We've talked about that. But when you think about the way Virginia is defending, and I'm going to go back to a game in Raleigh where they just choked NC State down in terms of its tempo, right? Now, Florida State will have to make shots tonight. If you watched any of the Wake Forest game on Saturday, you saw that sometimes Florida State was winning on second chance opportunities, especially in the comeback, right? Tonight, you start to look at the way the game could go. If Virginia's a shot-making team and choking the possessions down, what kind of intensity does that create for Florida State that's kind of self-induced? The matchups, yeah, we can talk about who's going to guard who. I don't know who Kihei Clark's going to guard for Florida State. But will it matter? Because, if Virginia's making shots, it may not matter what's happening at the other end because of the number of possessions in the game.
One other offbeat note that has not been mentioned today. Since Florida State went back to playing basketball over the weekend, I went back to buying lottery tickets. MJ Walker, who was ridiculous, 48 of 52. Or 47 of 52. Going into the game, was 1 of 4 from the line Saturday was. That is unusual. He is now at an 85.7% accuracy number, 85.7. I got 1 of 6 numbers on the Mega Millions. Here's the ticket in case you think, guys, I think I'm making this stuff up. There it is.
1 of 6.
I got 1 of 6. I got number 05 on the single draw Friday night.
Wow.
05. All right, there on the Mega Millions. That won me no money. However, my inaccuracy rate is now at 89.7%. I have taken the lead on MJ Walker. I did not expect MJ to go 1 of 4 from the line.
Sidebar. Well, I'm sitting here making notes because we've got breaking news.
Don't tell me.
Not tonight. Whew. Tonight's still in play.
Good. I thought you were going to tell me this game's canceled.
No, this game tonight, right now, is going to be played, but Wednesday night in South Bend is not.
Oh.
Clemson and Notre Dame has now been postponed. Positive tests, subsequent quarantining, contact tracing within the Clemson men's basketball program.
That's all we get, man. I keep telling you, you got to embrace what you get. You can't get too bummed out what you don't get. But that's a tough break for Notre Dame because they need that game much more than Clemson does. That was a really important game on Notre Dame's schedule down the rest of the way.
This is sheer speculation. If let's go back to the 15th, which is today, you're looking at Notre Dame, Pitt, and Wake Forest going by the boards.
All
just
on the
in
road.
A 10-day window.
All on the road.
All on the road. It would leave Clemson potentially at the back end of the schedule. They're supposed to play February 27th against Miami.
At home.
March 6th against Pitt.
At home.
Is the updated, schedule.
So, if I'm in that scenario, they're done being
on
the
road. Don't quote me on that because we all know the schedule changes every day, by the way.
That stinks for it stinks for everybody, but it really – stinks for Notre Dame because they needed a quad one W. And you just don't get that many opportunities when you look at the schedule. They can win a bunch of games, but you need the quality wins. And Clemson certainly gives you that given where their status is big picture. So whatever the case may be, wish everybody's safety on that front. Health's number one.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
It's where we are, though. I mean, that's why I keep going back to March 18th in this NCAA tournament, Wes. I'm concerned big time with it. I hope we can do this.
Yeah, I'm with you. 31 ACC games, by the way, have been postponed. 31. By the way, North Carolina does not play this week. They've already played Notre Dame. I'm not saying they'll play again, but keep an eye on the schedule evolvement in the ACC this week. One note, we have a brand new addition to our ACC Network family. This was announced over the weekend, and we want to congratulate Brian Ives and his wife Caroline on their new daughter, Josephine Bennett Ives, who was born this week, this past weekend, rather. Both mom and daughter are doing fabulous.
Great name.
In the Bristol, Connecticut area, and we wish them the very best.
Congrats to Team Ives. And you think Ives is okay with the middle name Bennett after Virginia just continues to own his Tar Heels? You think he's going to be okay with that? Just ask. Just asking as a friend.
You know, I, as a friend, I'm going to say that we'll let Brian answer that when he joins us on another edition of Packer and Durham at some point.
Very good. But congratulations to Team Ives. That is the best news. And as long as mom and daughter and dad are healthy and everybody's getting some rest, that is the best news. The best.
Yep. All right. Florida State, Virginia is tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on ESPN. Sean McDonough, Jay Billis, I have the call. We'll have a full breakdown for you tomorrow and a review, sound from the ball game, highlights, analysis, and much, much more to go along with all the other fun we always have on this program. And we've got a big slate of basketball on Wednesday now, minus one game, as Notre Dame and Clemson have now been postponed for South Bend on Wednesday. Thanks as always, Drew Brooks, Josh Macri, Christina Velez. Thank you. Appreciate you very much. Jim Milkovich slid in for a spotlight cameo role, by the way.
Smart people.
Anything else you got? Oh, good luck at the knee doctor today.
Knee doctor in about,
look forward to a
minutes.
Report on that.
Well, hopefully I'll be here tomorrow. Bright and early, 7 a.m.
Oh, come on. Damn.
Pain-free. Christmas.
See you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.